Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, sometimes even the great debate, but it can only be either of those if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. Here's how it works. You dial us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero. Here's the number. 44208-601-4555. You can also SMS the show on 44780008066. And the best of those, if they're good enough, will come up here on the comment wall. Ditto, the best emails, comment@presstv.co.uk. You can even tweet me at comment_presstv. Now, in the wake of the foul, evil, satanic murder of a Roman Catholic priest celebrating Mass in a church, communing with Jesus by people who claim, and this claim was reciprocated, claim allegiance to the beheading, heart-eating, fanatic extremists of ISIS. Of course, that was only the latest in a series of atrocities. And so the question I'm posing tonight is, what is behind the surge of indiscriminate killings in the West? Well, the first thing that has to be said is that all of these indiscriminate killings, mass murders, are not the same thing. They're not coming from the same source. Let's deal with the 9 people who were murdered last weekend in the German city of Munich. The killing there was by a Nazi, by a young man of 19 who gloried in the fact that he shared a birthday with Adolf Hitler, who claimed that he was a part of the Aryan race, who felt and expressed often a racial superiority over Turkish people and over Arabs. He was born, educated, and raised in Germany. And by the way, every single person that he murdered was young and was of foreign ethnicity. They were Kosovan people, Turkish people, Arabic people, and they were, as targets, deliberately chosen. So let's leave him out of the equation for a minute. Although this phenomenon of far-right white supremacy mentality is clearly abroad. Anders Breivik in Norway killed almost 70 people out of that mindset of white European supremacy. Let's also deal with a second issue that is now emerging. It is the salience of psychosiatric disorder, mental illness, which is present in most of the cases in the last couple of weeks, and even many more further back. It is obvious that the person who drove his truck in Nice, killing 84 people with a truck, without being stopped, without anyone shooting the tires and bursting them, without anyone shooting through the front or side of the window and killing him, he also had been on the receiving end of a very great many medical interventions to deal with the various symptoms of mental illness that he possessed. The Orlando massacre in a gay club in Florida equally had mental health and self-loathing, deeply personal origins. And though the mass murderers in Nice and Orlando belatedly claimed some kind of connection with this fanatic Takfiri phenomenon that we deal with on this program almost every week, in fact, the truth behind the reasons why they massacred so many people is likely to be very much more complex. Even the other killings in Germany were carried out by people with long-standing mental illness. The Ansbach suicide bomber, for example, who, by the grace of God, killed nobody else but himself, was unable to put together a viable explosive device. He had twice tried to commit suicide and was a regular patient receiving treatment for various forms of mental illness. So let's park that issue also to the side for a minute. The satanic evil that took place in Rouen, in Normandy, in France, where at the altar, whilst engaged in a religious ceremony in a church, worshipping God, and clearly not just a person of the book, but a person with the book in his hand, a book that is revered and respected by all Muslims, a book which is dedicated to Jesus, revered as a matter of course by all Muslims, was clearly carried out by someone with absolutely zero understanding of Islam. How anyone carrying out that crime could imagine that God would approve of it, well, if he wasn't, if they weren't in receipt of treatment for mental illness, they surely should have been. None of which is to say that there is not a phenomenon of fanatic extremism amongst a small section of the Muslim Ummah. If that were not the case, then Syria would not be every day suffering a bloodbath that knocks the bloodbaths in Europe and in Florida into a cocked hat. Hundreds of people, sometimes thousands, are murdered by these people every week in Syria and in Iraq and in Libya and in Nigeria and in Yemen. This phenomenon exists, and I'm the very last person in the world to in any way seek to minimize the existential problem that this poses for all of us, because nobody knows what the consequence of the murder in Rouen of the priest and another parishioner is going to lead to. But we do know it's going to lead to bad things. Bad things for Muslims in France, bad things for Muslims in Europe, and more frenzied, pointless French bombing of Syria in particular. Bombing what? Who can tell? We live in days where Ayman al-Zawahiri, the caliph of Al-Qaeda, has just released a video recording or an audio recording permitting Jabhat al-Nusra, the Al-Qaeda chapter in Syria, to distance themselves from Al-Qaeda Central for no other reason than that it is an embarrassment to France, Britain, America, and other countries that we are causing the death and destruction, murder and mayhem in Syria with the aid of Jabhat al-Nusra. Whatever Zawahiri's audio recording says, Jabhat al-Nusra are the Syrian chapter of Al-Qaeda, and ISIS are a mutation of Al-Qaeda. So the fact that the Syrian armed forces and their allies and the Iraqi armed forces and their allies are making steady, slow but steady military progress on the ground in both countries is undoubtedly leading to a frenzied effort by these extremist fanatics to encourage any mentally ill or social misfit living in Western countries to carry out acts of mass murder, which they then promptly claim as their own. What's needed is a change of policy. Western countries have to stop backing with money, weapons, materiel, political, diplomatic, and media propaganda support of these fanatics in Syria and in Iraq. Western governments have to ally with the government of Syria, the government of Iraq, and their allies in a united front to defeat the scourge of this extremist fanaticism. That's my take. Aidan is in London. Always worth hearing. Welcome back to the show, Aidan.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Yeah, I was going to say quite a few things, but you said most of them. These people that set off the bombs, these suicide bombs, or these people that do the killing in Europe, they're not... Before, I mean, every time there's a killing, and there's a murder, or there's a bomb, or whatever goes off, it's Islamic terror. Before they even know what's happened...
Yeah. Well, the Daily Mail told us that the Nazi in Munich had shouted Allahu Akbar as he was murdering these Muslim children. This was a flat lie. He hated Islam. He was an Aryan racist who worshipped Hitler. He had nothing whatsoever to do with Islam.
Yeah, that's right. And the same was said about that one in Nice, that he was this radicalized Muslim. And then later on, they found that he was a loner. He used to go out drinking, and the local Muslims, the local Tunisians, the Arab community in that area, he never went to a mosque in his life.
No.
But within 7 days, he became radicalized, extremist, and decided to go out and be part of Daesh. You know what I mean?
Yep. Doesn't add up either. He was a pork eating, drug taking, alcohol drinking, prostitute using.
That's it.
Weirdo. As everyone who knew him, including his own family, have amply testified.
That's right. And the one in Belgium owned a pub and a bar, and he used to sell drugs in it as well.
Yes, that was the Belgian guy involved in the Bataclan massacre, yeah?
That's it, yeah. So all three of these people have nothing to do with Islam. They're not Muslims. Most of them have got criminal records, yet somehow they find themselves as Islamic terrorists. This, to me, has got dirty fingerprints all over it. Sorry, George, but it seems like these guys have been, and they were all being followed by the police as well. They all had criminal records for petty crime.
Yeah, every one of them has a lifestyle which is as far from Islam as it's possible to imagine. Except this latest one in France. This latest one in France, in the murder of the priest, was carried out. The ringleader was 19 years old. He had tried repeatedly to get to Syria. He'd been blocked and stopped and sent back. And he was, it's clear from his video and from the claim coming from ISIS and in their social media, he was determined upon this act of depravity, and he was motivated by the ISIS mentality. On that, I think we can agree, Aidan.
Yeah, I think that this one was the exception, but I believe that they've all been coerced into doing these things. I think they've all been coerced to doing these things in the same way that those people that let off the bombs in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan have done in the last week too. These are all mentally ill people or got criminal backgrounds, have been set up to go and do this in the name of, I don't know. But I think it's all designed right now. The ones that are going on in Europe are designed by the media to make the locals hate Muslims as much as possible. This is about sectarian hatred, Islamophobia, and this is the media's war Zionist media's war against the Muslims living in Europe now. That's how I see it. Every time I put, because the minute something happens, before there's any shred of evidence, it's Islamic terror. They say Islamic as well. They don't even say, they use the word Islam and Muslims, radical Muslims and Islams, every time there is a killing that goes on in the news now.
And Boris, in the case of Munich last weekend, Boris Johnson declared it to be an Islamic terror attack, even before the German authorities, and it turned out that it had absolutely nothing to do with Islam, that all of the victims were from Muslim backgrounds, all of them, and had been deliberately targeted for that reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? I mean, what is Boris Johnson anyway? He's a Zionist poodle, I mean, for God's sake. He's a fully paid-up member of the neocon Zionist agenda. He's part of the media. He's now a big part of the government. Who's he to open his mouth and start talking in this way anyway? He's not even got started yet,
Aidan. Wait till he gets into his stride. Aidan, thanks for that. Great call from London. Let's see David in Glasgow up next. Go ahead, David.
Hello, how you doing? First of all, I want to say the only way to achieve significant change is by the mass mobilisation of people, not by single acts of aggression. Now, before I address Islam, I want to address Christianity, because historically, Christianity has the same problem as Islam. Now, in the 1600s, right, you had Anglicanism and Presbyterianism within Christianity on the island of Albion, right? And what you had is you had a Scottish person that went down to England and became the King of England, therefore became the supreme governor of the Church of England, and then he decided to impose his religious belief onto the Presbyterian people of Scotland by aggression, and that caused religious wars between the Presbyterians of Scotland and the Anglicans of England. And then, of course, we know about Cromwell. Cromwell then took the head off that king because of that. And that's one of the problems with religions, is it splits. And that's a problem with Islam too. Now, there's about 1 billion Muslims in the world, and 99% of victims of Islamic extremists are Muslims, are our members of Islam. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and thanks for the history lesson. It wasn't quite accurate. The first king you were talking about was King James, and Cromwell beheaded King Charles quite some time later. But nonetheless, an interesting call. Mohammed's in South Wales. Let's hear from him.
Assalamu alaikum to you, George. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Thanks for calling, Mohammed. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically what it is, we are not tackling actually the problem, right, where it originates from, okay? It originates with the funding by the Saudi and the Qatar government, right, to fund these kind of so-called mosques and Islamic centers in the world where they promote, right, their ideology of Wahhabism, that if you don't follow our faith, there is no other faith but our own faith and our interpretation of the Wahhab sect. But this is not the way the Prophet brought Islam to the world. Prophet brought Islam to the world by kindness, by being so polite to other human beings, regardless of their faith or religion, right? These, I said many times on your television, George, these so-called Islamic state, they are not Islamic state, it's a terrorist state, right? Why don't our media in the West call them as a terrorist state instead of Islam?
Because they have nothing. Too much money in it, Mohammed, that's the reason, as we both know. Too much in the way of profit.
Do you think the life of a human being is worth more money than anything.
It's well, it is to you.
Whether it's a Christian, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a Jew or Hindu, it does not matter.
It is to you, and it is to me. But the people that rule us actually follow the prophets rather than any prophets. Muhammad in South Wales, as always, eloquent. Damien's in Manchester. Let's hear from him. Damien, welcome.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good. Nice to hear your voice again. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the way it is, like, the West has intervened in the Middle East and just absolutely decimated the place and caused chaos. And this has created terrorists from people who think if you're going to blow up a wedding or you kill a load of children, you're going to create terrorists automatically. Any atrocity against people, the innocent people, just create turns normal people into terrorists.
Well, that's a fact, and there is a particular problem with France and Algeria. This murderer who murdered the priest just a couple of days ago was, of course, born in France, but of Algerian parentage. The French Empire massacred 1 million Algerians in the struggle for freedom and independence waged by the Algerian people under the leadership of the FLN. 1 million people were murdered by France. And that was in my lifetime, not ancient history. And it has left, of course, gigantic reservoirs of bitterness, enmity, and hate. And of all the anti-colonial struggles, the struggle of the Algerian people against French colonialism was possibly the bloodiest and the hardest. And it is yet another factor that is running through this sewer of extremism and murder. Bani is in Geneva. Last call before the break. Go ahead, Bani.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr.
Galloway. Walaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
You and your Ahl al-Bayt are all well. I hope so.
Thank you.
You know, I wish we had more people like you on this planet Earth. This is one thing.
Thank you.
Then on the beginning, you said almost all of it. It's just, you know, first of all, we made big mistakes, all of us, especially with the help of media. They call them jihadists. Can you find this word in the dictionary? Does it exist, jihadist, anywhere? And we understood that jihad is to progress, repairing and preparing, not to massacre. So we should call these people international murderer.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's a death cult, Bani. It's a death and murder cult.
Thank you. That should be their name, not anything about Islam. There is no ideology on the planet Earth who says cut the people's hair off. And, you know, everybody knows all about it since many years that they are doing this. Now, if we are able to bring their bosses, their brain, means Tony Blair, Mr. Bush and Bush, who they create all this Al-Qaeda business and all this salad, and until today we have this they're all sick, they're all ill people. Can you find one member of this brigade of murderers who are normal people? None. So they are using all these desperate people from any age, anywhere in the world. We help them to get in touch with them. We help them to give them the money, and they can travel to go to Syria and back and forth. So that's why we get these tragedies and sad stories in France and elsewhere. And this is like an epidemic now today, unfortunately.
It is. It's a pandemic, and you're absolutely correct that if these murderers had got to Syria and were doing all their murdering there, they would have the support of the very Western governments that are seeking to panic their own populations in their own countries, and in passing to hate and fear the Muslims in their midst, they would be quite happy. They'd give them money and give them support if only they were doing their murdering, including priest murdering, in Syria. I've got to take a short break, just 3 minutes, for a short news bulletin. Don't go away. God willing, I'll be here when you get back. You're watching To Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week, the voice of the voiceless. We're asking the big question tonight. What is behind the surge of indiscriminate killings in the West? I have at length outlined my arguments and even posed some questions about those indiscriminate, sometimes mass murder. And all is not quite what it seems, or at least what the mass media and the political class in Western countries want you for it to seem. But I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. I'm not saying, how could I, that there are not fanatic, extremist, head-cutting, heart-eating, mass murderers acting in the name of their tiny takfiri interpretation of Islam. I'm not denying that for one second. I spend most of my life denouncing it. But these killings in the West are not normally the same thing as those killings that are taking place against Muslims overwhelmingly in other countries. And I've explained why. So let's hear what the viewers think. Rizwan is in Birmingham. Let's hear from him. Rizwan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brother Galloway. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome. Go ahead.
It's me again. I just want to congratulate you on your documentary.
Thank you.
My sister and brother-in-law watched it. They said it was amazing.
It is a very, very powerful film. And thank your sister for saying so, Rizwan. I'm in Bradford with her on Monday night at the National Media Museum. Anyone who's within traveling distance of Bradford should think about getting tickets for that.
Okay.
I'll introduce the film, show the film, and then I'll conduct a Q&A about it afterwards. Just for those who don't know what we're talking about, it's the killings of Tony Blair.
Yeah.
You can follow it on Twitter at the Blair Doc. Thanks, Rizwan. Go ahead.
Yeah. All I just want to say is this, that look, we're saying about honor killings. Look how much Muslims have died.
Most.
World.
Somebody said earlier 99%. I don't know if that's strictly accurate, but it's of that order. It's almost all of the victims of these people are Muslims themselves.
Yes. Afghanistan, innocent Muslims have died through US drone attacks. ISIL have killed more Muslims than they have killed non-Muslims.
That's a fact.
Yes.
No one can dispute that. That's a fact. That doesn't mean that these people are any less satanic, evil, wicked mass murderers. They are that.
They are.
But we have to keep this in perspective, and we have to be accurate about the nomenclature. There is no such thing as Islamic terrorism, any more than there could be such a thing as Catholic terrorism.
Well, I just want to say,
there can be Muslims who are terrorists.
Yes.
There can be Catholics who are terrorists.
Yes.
But neither is acting in the name of their religion. They're acting against their religion.
Yes. But Brother Galloway, all I just want to say is that, look, what frustrates me is that when our people are dying, kids' bodies are lying on the ground. But who's condemning this? No one. But when attacks happen in France, in anywhere in the West, it's a big issue. Okay, we condemn these because we don't follow these bloodthirsty animals, ISIL. But what about the innocent Muslims that have died? There's only you, mashallah, you're the only person that is coming out and condemning this.
Well, but the blood of some people has always been worth more than the blood of some others, Rizwan. We know that for our rulers and for the media echo chamber which serves our rulers, directly and indirectly serves our rulers, the blood of a poor Pakistani child is nowhere near the value of the blood of a Western child, and the blood of a Palestinian child is nowhere near the value of the blood of an Israeli child. This double standard is at the heart of the matter in this great confrontation which is unfolding in front of our eyes. Rizwan, God bless you. Thanks for that call. And give my regards, please, to your sister. And do try and make it up to Bradford on Monday. Julian is on the line. He's in Reading in England. Julian, welcome. Go ahead.
Hello, George. I saw a great film about killing last night.
Oh, were you there at the premiere?
Yes, I saw it.
Fantastic. I'm really grateful to you, Julian. Thanks.
It was great to see you. Killing's going on everywhere, and you've got the Orlando killer, who was apparently a gay man who killed a load of gay people, and this kid in Germany who was of a Middle Eastern background who killed mainly Middle Eastern people. I think people who feel isolated and alienated, they will start to hate themselves, and they will see what they hate in other people. The classic example I always give is Lenny Murphy from the Shankill Butchers in Belfast, who was bullied for having a Catholic-sounding name and went on to become this murderous killer of Catholics. That's just my little
It's a very acute observation. Very acute observation. The Munich killer was of Iranian origin. He converted to Christianity, which is why his first name was David. But he hated Islam. He believed he was an Aryan supremacist. Yeah. He worshipped Hitler. He loved the fact that he shared a birthday with Hitler. He carried out the mass murder on the anniversary of the mass murder that took place in Norway at the hands of another white supremacist, Aryan supremacist, Anders Breivik. But very few people in the world know that. Most people in the world think that what happened in Munich was another Islamist fanatic attack, and it wasn't.
No, of course, but he will have grown up being bullied for looking Muslim.
Yeah, that's the irony.
It may have made him hate his own background.
That's the irony. Very, very clever call. Thanks for that, Julian, in Reading. Let's go to New York and hear from Bruce. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Sir George.
Good evening.
Look, you know, I agree generally with your how you adumbrated the causation of this terrorism business in the world. But I want to add a couple of points. One, most of these people who are said to be to have mental issues, nobody has really talked about possible drugs, meaning pharmaceutical drugs that these people are taking.
Actually, both kinds, Bruce. In almost all of these cases, the people were on super doses of pharmaceutical products and taking illegal drugs too.
Exactly. You know, so I think we need to look deep into the pharmaceutical industry and see what's happening there. You know, I know like 30 or 40 years ago, these guys came up with like 40 different names for mental conditions. Yeah, just to like market drugs, have drugs to sell. You know. So I'm a bit suspicious as to their involvement, right? The second reason is that obviously you would know this, that I call. There's a government on earth that has had a history of creating these types of bombings in Europe and that type of thing, and blaming it on communists and socialists and that type of thing, right? So I'm wondering the extent to which they may be involved, because all of a sudden we have all these terrorist attacks in Europe, and they seem to come out of nowhere, and you have a convenient bogey set of people that you
Of course I hear what you're saying, and the fact that that not everything is a conspiracy doesn't mean that nothing is a conspiracy, and you know very well, coming from the United States, that there was a whole genre in movies and in novels. Graham Greene's film, The Quiet American, for a start, actually laid out in chapter and verse the kind of provocations, false flag operations that have been used over many years by many different regimes to suit their political purposes. That happens, but it's not, I think, the explanation behind what's happening now. Generally speaking, where a culprit is found, captured, or killed, it's generally speaking unlikely to be any kind of false flag or provocation, because as long as the suspect lives, they are able to reveal too much were that to have been the case. In every one of these cases, from Orlando, let me just take that time span, from Orlando to Rouen in Normandy yesterday or the day before, it's quite clear who carried out the crimes. And all I'm saying is, in that time span, leave aside other time spans, which I haven't been able to study well enough, in that time span, the people who carried out these mass murders were the people who claimed that they did, who were caught doing it, who had to be killed whilst they were doing it. Of that, I'm not in any doubt. We just saw their one. This was a machete attack carried out by a Syrian refugee in Germany. Poor Germany is suffering a great deal from these crimes. Now, he was Syrian and he was Muslim, but he carried out the machete attack as a crime against a woman, a worker that he worked beside and with whom he had been in a personal relationship. His attack was evil, was wicked, was murder, but it had nothing to do with the fact he was Syrian or that he was Muslim, still less that he was a refugee. I think that was a useful case in point there. Let's stay in New York and go to Ali. Ali, welcome to the show.
George, thank you very much again. A pleasure speaking.
Pleasure. Good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Very, very important issue of our era, that why there is so much violence everywhere. I know that media gives height to the violence in the Western world and in this part of the world, but they don't give a damn shit what's going on in the other parts of the world. But it's very important for us.
They barely even report it. You know, scores, hundreds of people are massacred in Iraq and Baghdad and elsewhere. It scarcely even makes the news report. And in many newspapers, isn't reported at all.
Yes. So it's very important for us, and I being a physician, it's very important for me as well to look into and see what's going on and what is actually the danger to us, you know, with the societies who call them like well-developed societies. And I think it's a very important topic again. So discussing the reasons, I think media hype is a big issue here. Mental issues are a big issue here. And another thing is that you explained it beautifully, that we do not take crime as a crime. We try to blame crime for some other reasons, like we take a crime on some specific religion, some specific race, and we blame those people. And when we do that, the actual reason is hidden. That's a big, big thing that's going on. Like a crime should be, if it's a crime to, you know, committed by a Muslim, who the hell that person is? He should be taken as a criminal. You know, that's my take on it. Okay, you blame whatever you want to do, but take him as a criminal and act accordingly. If a crime is committed by a white supremacist, take him as a criminal and punish him. That's what's going on. Again, the gun culture, the violence.
Guns are a big issue here, Ali.
Yes.
One of the reasons, there are many, but one of the reasons why so far, thank God, Britain has not been suffering to the same extent is that our intelligence appears to be working better and more efficiently and more smartly than those on the European mainland. Secondly, because we have water between us, we don't have an open border like they do on the European mainland. And thirdly, that it's very difficult to get guns here. And if you are buying from the very short supply of guns, then the police are much more likely to hear about it through their networks, through their penetration of criminal enterprises and so on. Ali, thanks for that call in New York. Let's stay in the US and go to Reza in Pennsylvania. Reza, welcome.
Hi, George. I want to say that cases that somebody is out of mind and crazy and start killing people are very few, and they don't kill anyone. And it exists in every country in the United States. This year alone, several cases that people who are crazy kill people. But majority of those bloodbath or killing are done, which is done by under Islamic name or name of Islam, is done by these Wahhabi groups or Takfiri groups, Taliban, Boko Haram, those are all others. And these people are all supported by Saudi Arabia. These people don't have any money of their own. They get paid $4,000 a month for the cost of being there and shooting people, and also given arm and ammunition and everything they need. Saudis are behind all those the killing that are under Islamic name.
Well, they're definitely behind the killings going on in Syria, to a slightly lesser extent in Iraq, but still there. I don't believe that they are to slit the throat of a priest. They didn't need to. All he needed was a knife. He had actually an electronic tag on, which was supposed to tell the authorities where he was. But hey, it was switched off. Let's go to California on the West Coast. Ben, go ahead.
Good afternoon, I guess, to you, or good evening.
Good evening, thank you very much, Ben.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to hear your views.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, of course, it's very extremely sad the way that they're trying to make this Islamophobia all around the media and everything over here. Everything, there's a killing that happens here in the United States. We just say, please don't let him have a Muslim name or something like that. And it's very sad because we have 1.3 billion Muslims. And then here you go, like you get 10 or 12 crazy. And it is true what you say, that some of them are Wahhabis, but also some of them are crazy. Some of them are just like the couple that did the butchering in Southern California on Christmas. I think that it was probably because his wife was wearing the hijab and they didn't invite him to the party or something like that. You never know what people's intentions are. But it is very sad. Everything that happens, that the men, like right now in Japan, when the man went crazy with a...
disabled people,
Exactly, killed 19 people. Nobody said, well, all Japanese are terrorists. All Japanese are terrorists. Or like when somebody over here and goes kill 22 students, little kids in the school, they don't say, oh, all Americans are you know, or all Christians are crazy. It's very sad, but it is, of course, for people who are intelligent, people who are at least wise enough to watch good news rather than the corporate media, they can understand that it is a fact that, unfortunately, the powers to be are having this. I pray to God that things won't get worse, but they're having this thing about Islamophobia. And it's very sad that they have all of these people in the Middle East killing each other. All the Muslims, they're killing each other.
Well, that's
for
a
nothing.
Fact. That's a
for
fact.
Nothing.
It's
nothing.
It's a separate fact, but it is a profoundly important one. All of what you said is true, but unfortunately, there are Muslims who don't need anybody's money, anybody's interference, anybody's leadership to encourage them to murder each other. That is a melancholy truth that we mustn't ever avoid. Thanks, Ben, in California. From California to Bradford in Yorkshire in England, Ibrahim. Ibrahim, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm good, Ibrahim. Thanks.
Okay,
I'm coming to Bradford on Monday.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just I would like to help us to answer this question. We have to know who will get benefit from this action. So first of all, we say, like, are the Muslim will get benefit from this action? The answer is no. Who will get benefit from this action? It's clear for me. It is like from the dictators, Arabic government who do this action to protect themselves from the spring bring what's called a revolution and to stop this thingy, to stop the freedom for the Arabic. They say it is a message for like Western, leave us control this issue and we will protect you. That's the main issue from my point of view.
Okay, Ibrahim, thanks very much. I'm pressing on only because we're reaching the end of the show and I want to get David in London on before we finish. David, welcome.
Hello, George. Yeah, I was at the matinee today for the film Killing
the
Sacred.
In Crouch End. Did you enjoy it?
Loved it.
Thank you.
Nailed it. And the most important thing that you nailed was that this issue is all about our interference in that region and nothing else.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to just ask is a quick question. If we were meant to live in a kind of fantasy world where we got rid of the American and the British imperialists and the Zionists and all that, how are we actually going to boots on the ground? I don't mean our soldiers. What kind of political process do you think we could get the Shia and the Sunni back together like they were before the invasion, when they were like quite, you know, comfortable with each other, you know, lived side by side of each other? What kind of, you know, could we like an Arab Defence League, something like that? What would be the actual...
Well, that's a very very profound question. Unfortunately, I don't have time to do it justice in the remaining moments. But we have to stop doing what we're doing and preferably do the reverse of it. We, for example, deliberately systemized sectarianism in Iraq when we invaded and occupied it. And that has exacerbated pre-existing tensions between Sunni and Shia in Iraq. Those tensions were nothing like what they are now before the invasion and occupation, but they did exist. I'll tell you what needs to happen. We don't need to send boots on anybody else's ground. We have to stop propping up the tyrants, the dictators, who rule most of the Arab world from one end to the other. If we do that, then their destiny will then be in the hands of their people, which is the only way that it can be, the only way that it can work. So stop selling weapons to the tyrants. Stop storing their money in our economies, in our banks. Stop facilitating and enabling their crimes against their own people and leave their own people to deal with them. Look, you can continue this discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. God willing, I'll be here next week to continue the debate.
Hello, if you comment your name and a picture of that number, and just make sure that your television volume is set up to zero. So
0 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this, your phone number, and then we'll be back.
Comment. Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll
then comment. I'll call you back. Can you make sure?